know that you want to see me. Welcome to Hammer Time. I am Brandon, and your host as always. And this week is a special week because I have a co-host, Keith Chambers. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, well, it's great to have another point of view. You actually have one of the best points of view because you get to watch from the press box, which is high above Civic Field.
Yeah, it's sort of a bird's eye view of everything that's going on. You normally stand behind the benches, which is nice, but you sort of see it all from eye level. We get to see the whole thing up in the press box. Myself and Will, he's the announcer. We get to see the whole thing from about, I don't know, I would say 70 feet in the air. So it's nice to see how the formations go and where the passes are actually going, and also to see sort of how the whole soccer thing gets done on the field.
Definitely. For me, watching from the bench, you see a lot of clustered. Sometimes, you know, when they really get in there close with each other, I see just a lot of clustered people. And in fact, I'll sometimes ask Coach, I'll be like, who got the assist there? Because it's a little bit tough sometimes from our point of view. Coach obviously has a much better eye than I do.
Yeah, it's hard for me to get assists too sometimes, yeah. Which is probably one of the things I shouldn't admit, considering I've been around soccer for 20 years, but it's still hard sometimes to remember who passed that dude the ball.
Well, I think for me, it comes from, actually, you mentioned being around soccer that long. For me, it comes from that, you know, that I have watched soccer that long. You get used to being a fan, you know, and then when you get into this sort of situation, you end up seeing, you want to just watch, and then you realize, hey, I got to keep track of this, you know, so that's totally understandable. But it was a little bit of a disappointing game this weekend if you're a Hammers fan. It was the first ever cross-border challenge cup. The PCSL put it on. It was kind of funny because the commissioner, or president, I should say, he mentioned that he was supposed to be establishing the friendship between the two nations. And I don't believe there was a lot of friendliness between Khalsa Sporting Club and Billingham United FC.
No, I think that when a soccer game is termed a friendly, it's pretty much the biggest lie in all sports, because You get guys who are ultra competitive trying to go at each other, trying to succeed, and, you know, tensions rise and blood boils over. Thankfully, there were only one card against Khalsa this week, so it wasn't as bad as it maybe could have been. I've seen games just turn into card festivals.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, last year there was one against, I mentioned a million times on this podcast, but the one against Poco City comes to mind, where there was a ton of cards given out of that game. So the interesting part about Khalsa is that their manager, Azad is his first name, and Polani actually the second name, and he's a very interesting character. Me being behind the benches, I get a little bit of an insight to what the coach is, and he's listed as their manager, but he does tend to do most of he's the most vocal out of all of them, this coaching staff. And, you know, he mentioned a couple times they make some weird decisions. They make some very odd substitutions. They tend to target some of our top players, at least personally I feel that way. Obviously, you know, that's left up to interpretation. But yeah, he actually mentioned, I think somebody called him out on something, and he said, that's the way we roll. And it kind of is very much how Khalsa rolls, but, you know, they do very, very well in the league. So, you know, but I've noticed even their coaching staff starts yelling at each other when they're down. Very interesting team. So definitely a lot of, you know, there's a lot of tensions between these two teams, because very different types of teams.
Yeah, I think Khalsa, probably one of the more consistent teams in the league, and something that I notice is they brought a lot of depth along. Usually when a team comes down to play us, I mean, you have the border situation involved, and you bring a very minimal squad. I've seen some teams come in with 12 dudes, which is one coach, 11 players, so it's going to be 90 minutes of hell for those players involved. But Khalsa, they seem to have it together. Yeah. I mean, their team name is hard to say. I'm pretty sure I said Khalsa a couple times up there. But they're also hard to match up with, and sometimes they'll do strategic substitutions, and instead of trying to substitute someone out to maybe be more of a benefit toward Khalsa, they'll sometimes sub a player in, because they have the benefit of doing this with their subs, they'll sub someone in to challenge their opponent a little bit more.
They're a very unique personality when it comes to a team. And it's funny because they come in there, the thing I laugh about, and it's sort of a material thing, but they come in very flashy. The guys have BMWs, they got convertibles. And yet, the interesting part is, funny enough, a lot of the fans in the league, and even players, love our jerseys. our kits are very, very nice looking kits. And they come in with like blue t-shirts on, it's kind of odd. It's an odd sort of contrast with that team, because they do come in all flash. They're definitely all about the, the sort of bling, I guess you would say, look. And then they come out there with their just blue t-shirts on. But like you said, they have it together otherwise, and they're a very tough team.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I worked out at the gym, I saw the shirt I was wearing, which is like a dark gray shirt, and I'm going to see if I can make it darker, with the sweat stains and stuff. And so I saw Khalsa's uniforms after the game. They obviously had one shade of light Hawaiian blue and then that sort of wet look. So, that kind of did surprise me that they were actually, before the game, making fun of the blue t-shirts. Yeah. And yet they went out there and wore them.
Yeah. No, they're a... very, like I said, the people haven't come to the games. Very, very unique team. But, it's a 2-1 defeat for Bellingham. Not all too different from the 3-2 defeat a couple weeks ago, which was a regular season game against Khalsa. This, of course, does not count towards regular season. This is just simply a cup, basically, like we mentioned, to establish a friendship, as the president wanted. I think, though, if we're going to look at the positives about it, although they are two teams who don't seem to like each other, both the players, of course, and fans, they did stick around to see the presentation. I thought that was very, very nice to see that even our fans, who were visibly disappointed, they definitely showed their sportsmanship by saying, hey, we're going to at least congratulate this team that we might not particularly love, but that we are going to at least give them credit for their win.
Yeah, I went down field level for the post game, because you can only be up in that booth for so long. And
oh, yeah.
I just wanted to be down the field to be sort of a part of it. I noticed that Khalsa had maybe a few fans, a couple teenage or 20-year-old girls that noticed some of the Khalsa players, for good or for bad. But I thought it was cool that some of our fans stuck around and, let Khalsa know that they were appreciated, and also let the Hammers know that their efforts were also not to be taken lightly. Although some of the medals for that said runner-up in the challenge in the Cross Border Cup, I'm pretty sure I know where those went as soon as the game's over. The Civic Stadium guys might have noticed the garbages were a little bit heavier with all that metal inside of them. But that is my own opinion. I didn't see anyone throw it away.
Well, the thing I noticed that was probably the best way to go, a few of the guys did give them to the kids. I thought that was pretty cool. I think it does leave and I give all credit. The PCSL, the vice president and the president who were there, great guys, very nice guys, and they put on a great, great league. But it was kind of funny to see those runner-up medals. Nobody wants, it's a two-horse race, you're last place, there's no second place in that. But, so I thought it was nice that the guys who were disappointed didn't really want those medals, gave it to the kids seemed excited. There's a good possibility you're right, a few of them possibly did find their way. I know that for me personally, it is that, it would be that struggle if you're the athlete, whether do you just toss it, or because it's not something you want to remember, not at all.
Yeah, like you said, it's a two-horse race mentality. Yeah. I mean, there's first place and there's last place. And unfortunately, our Hammers ended up in last place. But like I said after the game to anyone that would listen to me, it would have been nice to have, but it's not what we've been focusing on for past 2 years.
Yeah, not to belittle Khalsa winning the Cross-Border Challenge Cup, not to belittle the wonderful event the PCSL put on, but obviously this was just a glorified friendly, and we would love to win the Challenge Cup. That's what it's all about. So
I kind of feel bad, because Hooligan Ron said that he was going to get some champagne that he was going to drink out of the Cross-Border Cup. This is serious. And at halftime, I gave him a big old high five and said, 45 minutes until we can drink from it, which might have been a little crass, but first of all, there was no one around us when I said that.
Yeah.
Second of all, you know, maybe I do take a little responsibility for the game sort of switching over in the second half. But, like you said, it's a friendly. We move on.
Really good stuff heading into this next game because it is our next road game, and we are undefeated on the road. How are you feeling with Vancouver? We lost them 1-0. Down here in Bellingham, and now we're headed up to Vancouver to take them on. Do you think that that's going to be an issue for the guys? Do you think that's going to be? I know I talked to Coach Calloway actually. His interview is going to be coming up in a few minutes, and you know he says obviously the guys are professional. We believe that as well. But put yourself in the position of because a undefeated road season would be awesome. Does that get to you? Do you think?
I don't think so. I think the guys are professional. The only thing that's really different on the road, maybe it's the scenery. Like, yeah. It's a different stadium, maybe different turf, maybe different everything. I mean, you still have to go out, you still have to give your full 90. You might be wearing some of those sweet baby blue jerseys that also could be different. But I think as a professional soccer player, you can get your mind right and get in the game for 2 hours, or maybe more, like, you know, warm-ups for 45 minutes, pep talk for 15, game for 45, halftime talk for 15, and then game for another 45, and it's just the same. I think these guys who've been playing for Bellingham United have been doing that same thing for years, so I'm pretty sure they're not going to be distracted by, you know, the fact that they are on the road, or the fact that they haven't lost on the road yet. I mean, It's one of those nice statistics that you'll remember at the end of the season if it does come to pass. Didn't lose on the road.
Well, you know, and the thing is that too, what we kind of forget sometimes, although trust me, having those sort of fans at our games is incredible. But we're getting new turf for next season. But this season and last season, the turf is really terrible at Civic Field, and so it sometimes probably benefits them to go to some of these, especially Thunderbird Stadium, which is a very, very nice stadium. It's where the Whitecaps reserves actually train, and where they play, from what I hear as well. So, you know, sometimes maybe it's even a relief to be on the road because they have a nice pitch to play on.
Mm-hmm. That was the first thing that I actually said to the president of the PCSL. First thing I said to him was, "We are getting new turf after this season is over," and he was very proud to hear that. But having said that, we still have to play.
Yeah.
The game have to play one more in 2 weeks on that turf.
Looking at the top four seeds, because obviously we have two games left. We play the Vancouver Thunderbirds on the road, and then we play Victoria Highlanders here at home. And when you look at it, though, first place is really what we want, because fourth place is going to be the Victoria United, possibly, squad, or maybe Vancouver Thunderbirds, okay? And when you look at 2 and 3, you've got Kamloops and Khalsa, who have both been extremely good this season. What do you feel about taking on any of those teams? Who would you rather take on, I guess I would say?
You would like, I'm speaking as a coach here, you want to put your team in the best position to win, and you just want to play whoever you can. But you want to play the team maybe that's most beneficial to you. I've heard that Vancouver, the Thunderbirds, what they do is they'll bring up some Whitecaps reserves for the last three games of the season. So maybe try to avoid them. But also, you want to compete and you want to win. So I think that Coach Calloway's got a tricky strategy coming into these next two games, because there's obviously a team that you don't want to play in Vancouver, maybe. But, I mean, we have a chance to go up to Thunderbird Stadium and see what they have, which is going to be beneficial for us. But that's why you play so hard to win as many games as possible and get the number one seed. Because in a four-team knockout bracket, 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3, you're always going to want to see the team who's at the bottom of that bracket rather than maybe a team that's in the middle, because it's a tougher matchup in the first round.
Yeah.
And I think the pressure of maybe the first round of the playoffs sometimes gets to inexperienced teams or teams that are, say, overrated. That being said, I think that the Hammers, they've been in this position before. They know what the playoffs are like because they went through it last year, and this year they're going to know exactly what to expect. So if they come in as a one, I'm pretty certain there won't be a huge letdown against a four seed.
Well, and, you know, for me personally, I think the strategy, you know, not so much strategy, I should say, but going into this next game, I think this next game is big because Victoria United, the end of their schedule, I'm not sure exactly what they did this week. I gotta check that out later on in the podcast. But I do know that they are really bouncing around in fourth place with Vancouver Thunderbirds. We know Victoria United has been iffy all season. Rough, are now playing better. If we can somehow keep Vancouver Thunderbirds out of the playoffs and say we do get first, we end up then playing Victoria United, that would be obviously a much better. We played very well against Victoria United, so that would be a great matchup to have Victoria United and us in the first round. Second or third, we were in, I believe, third place last year, ended up taking on Poco City. Had a very valiant effort in that game at the Challenge Cup in Chilliwack. So I think this game is huge this weekend against Vancouver. If we can beat them, it possibly puts them out of a playoff spot, maybe puts Victoria United in, and it does obviously bring us closer to first place. You know, Calsa has some really interesting games coming up here as well as Kamloops. I think both teams, if I'm not right, play Coquitlam. I do know that Coquitlam and Vancouver are both involved with both of those teams at the end of the season, so they don't have an easy schedule either.
Yeah, I think for Bellingham United, you can only really worry about the games at hand,
yeah.
And that's the game against Vancouver, and then the game against the Victoria Highlanders. Everything else will just shake out and fall where it may.
Yeah. And we know they can beat anybody. They beat Kamloops twice this year, so we know they can beat any of these teams, except for Estrella de Chile. they had a draw and a loss against, and Estrella de Chile is actually the last place team in the league right now, so that just shows you how crazy soccer is.
No kidding. Soccer's one of those games
where,
as a lot of coaches say, sometimes the best team doesn't win.
Yeah,
but, you know, all that Bellingham United can really concentrate on is maybe getting a result. Like, I'll just throw this out. Expected scenario, get a result against Vancouver, and then win to finish off the season at home in front of all the sweet fans at Civic Stadium. And this is a reminder, everyone, come to the games. There's going to be a bus that goes from Civic Stadium up to the Vancouver Stadium. Get on that bus. $10 gets you across the border and back. Make sure all your documents are in line. And show up for the last game of the season. Send your boys off to the playoffs, making them feel like champs. We'd love to see you at the game. The players notice it. The team, I notice it. Will the announcer notice it? Brandon totally notices it.
Yes,
the
I do.
Owners would love to see you guys at these, at if not the game Saturday, then the game next Sunday.
Yes.
So come and show up. The weather's going to be great. It's going to be a rocking good time.
No, you're right. In Vancouver, Thunderbird Stadium, like we mentioned, great stadium. I take the bus up there, get to see the final road game of the season. I went to the final, I'm not sure if you were there, but the final road game of last season against Langley. And Langley put on a very nice game there, not in the league this year. But so it's great to go on that road trip, final road trip, and then, like you said, send the guys off to the playoffs here in Bellingham against the Victoria Highlanders. And then, you know, Challenge Cup in Coquitlam. Coquitlam's got a nice little soccer park there. Always great soccer, too. What people don't realize when it's about these tournaments is that it's not always just the premier men who are playing. You get to see some great women's soccer. You get to see some great, lower-level soccer. And fun stuff. I remember last year watching it in Chilliwack, and lots of great, great soccer to be played. So,
yeah. The big thing about these soccer tournaments is that the PCSL, they go big with these tournaments. They have a lot of teams playing. They invite a lot of teams. And because they know how to match teams up well, you don't see a lot of blowouts or you don't see a lot of games where one team is vastly superior to someone else. They have close games, and it's always great. It actually makes the beautiful game moniker that soccer has a little bit more legitimate.
No, you're right. You're very right. Now I know we still have two games left, but there has we've already played most of the season now. You've got to see most all the games. I've been to all the games, at least the home games, I should say. What has been your favorite moment as the, you know, like I said, part of the broadcast team up there? What has been your favorite moment of this season?
My one favorite moment, and this is when Will was away. It was when Brandon Quillacy hit a header goal in the 90th minute, and I just flipped out on the PA. The clock ran beyond 90 minutes. That was my fault. But that was just one of those moments where I got to see everyone just sort of have a kid at Christmas reaction, because they just had a huge emotional outpour for Brendan's goal, which I love because it, I mean, we're all adults here, usually. But just to act like a kid again for a little bit was great when Brendan, you know, knocks it in off of his head. One moment that maybe wasn't talked about was during the first game when Chris Jepsen cleared a ball right off the goal line against Estrella de Chile. I actually stood up and I started hollering from inside the booth. Might have been an unprofessional moment, but I thought it was fantastic. I thought that was maybe one of the better defensive plays I'd seen all year. And I was watching, I believe it was the Confederations Cup final. It was between Brazil and Spain. That happened in the game. Like, Fred or Hulk for Brazil cleared a ball off the line that was behind the goalie, and I said, wow, that reminds me of what Chris Jepsen did
in
the
right.
PCSL game against Estrella de Chile. So, I mean, it's moments like that which stick with me throughout the season as we go on. I've seen some classic stuff, and I've also seen some, you know, some chippy play.
Yeah.
But I'd say the season's been really great for Bellingham United, for all the fans that have come out, and also for the competition, because there hasn't been a boring, lopsided game at Civic Stadium this year.
No, with the exception of the friendly against Kitsap.
I wasn't there for that, so it didn't exist.
It didn't exist to you. No, you're right. You know, and it's funny that you mentioned that game, the Confederations Cup Finals, I also watched. And another standout moment that I remember, and this Coach Callaway mentioned that it was a play that could have been on English Premier League highlight reel, was Oscar Jimenez's volley that was just a blast from 25 yards out. And if you're going by offensive play, I think that was the play of the year for sure. And yeah, that's kind of what people should realize about this league. You know, the title says semi-pro, but these guys are really first-class soccer players. They have many moments of sheer brilliance. And you mentioned Chris Jepsen. I agree, that defensive play. I remember watching it from behind the bench, and, you know, I started to jump up and down, get a little bit excited, and because it was a huge save to keep his team in the game. And unfortunately, they did lose that game. But, yeah, you're right. These guys really have some moments of real brilliance. And Kellen Brown scoring 13 goals already this season. He's got a couple games left to maybe knock that up to 15 goals. And these guys are true world, you know, truly top class players.
Yeah, here's one thing. They are actually set back by their semi-pro moniker, but when they go out there and play, they are playing the best soccer that they can play. And because the stadium is so tight, like Civic seats maybe 3,000 people, we're not like 1,000 feet away, say at CenturyLink Field in the 300 level deck, because we're close. We get to see them do these fantastic moves up close, and it just looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
I work for a semi-pro basketball team as well, and they play their games out at Whatcom Community College, which has seating capacity of 800.
Yeah,
and you get so close to the action that, I mean, it is just phenomenal. The speed of the game, the focus of the athletes, the little space that they can pass the ball accurately within, all of that is, when you get up close and see it, you will be blown away when you see the results that come from that as well. Quick shout out, the semi-pro basketball team that I work for, the Bellingham Slam, just won the their league championship, actually. It's their third one. They beat the Vancouver Volcanoes in the IBL Championship. So I wanted to give a quick congratulations to them on that.
I wanted to as well. Yeah, you're thank you for bringing that up, because yeah, congratulations to Bellingham Slam. We like to say that we're trying to knock the City of Subdued Excitement moniker into the City of Champions moniker. So Bellingham Slam adding to that, Blazers Slam now, Bellingham Champions. Now we need a champion soccer team is what we need. That's for sure.
Yeah, some silverware would be very nice. Plus, I mean, it would give Hooliganer on a reason to drink champagne.
Yes.
I mean, yeah,
hopefully he's saving that. I hope so, that he didn't drown his sorrows with it at the last game. But yeah, definitely, we would love a reason to celebrate. And, you know, we love the Hammers, so.
Mm-hmm. Top-notch soccer club.
Absolutely. And top-notch guys. That's something that Coach Callaway likes to always say. And, you know, Coach Callaway does a great job, and his coaching staff, they do a great job of keeping together not just great soccer players, but great guys. These are guys who, you know, they're the kids love them. The kids are getting autographs from them. They hang out with the fans at Copper Hog afterwards. Just really, really nice guys. People, you know, the thing that I want to thank, you know, I know we still have a few podcasts left, but as we are winding down on the season, you know, the whole club has made me feel like family. The players, I didn't know coming into it when I was going to work for them as their writer, I didn't know if they were going to be like, get this guy out, he's going to try to get stuff out of us, you know, that kind of thing, you know, he's just the annoying scribe. But they haven't. They really have treated me like part of the family. Jeff, the owner, just a great guy to have as the owner. You, I have become friends. Will, although we give him a hard time about being our favorite hipster, the PA guy, he's... Will, who always shows up a little bit later than all of us, Will's always on the PA giving his very unique version of a soccer PA announcer. And, yeah, and of course, like I said, the coaching staff, Coach Callaway, assistant coach Brad Swanson, just really, really just good guys. Very, very good team.
Yeah, and also the other guys in the ownership. Let's go with Aaron O'Brien, Ted Dennison, Jim Massoni, Robert Reese, and Jeff. Where would we be without Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff is he's the reason why we're all together, why we're doing this, why we're watching this great football. And yeah, I'm like you said too, Robbie, who's doing a great job as the assistant general manager. Jim, who's, you know, always keeping things together. They have a lot to do. People don't realize that either. With the opening ceremonies, they put a lot of effort into these games. And, you know, the community, I'm sure they are as thankful as we are, because they really put on some great, great games, great matches for that matter, every single week. So thank you to everybody. And thank you guys for listening as well. Thank you, Keith, for joining me today. And it's great to have somebody else here. I feel so alone. I have you got your cats here, but I've got my gecko and my fish. That's who is usually in my studio with me. So it'd be nice to have somebody else today on the show. So thank you so much, Keith.
Yeah, my pleasure. And one quick story before I go. This is about an experience I had at the Copper Hog meet and greet. I was playing darts. I had a partner, and it was Oscar Jimenez and his partner, and we were playing the game of cricket where you hit certain targets at certain points, and I thought I was way ahead in a match, and then I looked at Oscar Jimenez and I said, "Here comes the flying squirrel." He looks at me and he says, "Don't ever call me that again." And then he hits triple 16, bullseye.
Oh, man.
Bullseye, and his team goes from being way in the back to way out ahead.
Oh my gosh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Oscar Jimenez is not the flying squirrel anymore. Do not call him that. He will become angry, and you wouldn't want to see him when he's angry.
I think, though, that might bring up something. We might need to call him the flying squirrel before the playoffs start. Maybe we need to, you know, get Oscar, because he's been playing great. Maybe we need to get, you know, I can only imagine him in Oscar Hulk mode. I think we have a new nickname for Oscar, the Hulk.
Yes.
All right, so it's Oscar the Hulk Jimenez. If he's listening to this, he'll probably be really, really mad. He'll probably post it on Facebook and be like, no flying squirrel, no Hulk. But no, Oscar's a great, great, great guy.
Oscar, we love you.
Yeah, we do
love
Oscar.
But, I mean, you've got to give us some credit. We're trying our best at these nicknames, and they might be awful yeah. for you, but they're fun for us to come up with.
Well, we got Chewy, Kellen Chewy Brown, Matt Ziggy Ziggyless. Chris Jepsen, the mayor.
Yeah.
Who else do we have that we haven't given? Curtis Peterson needs one. I don't know what we're going to give Curtis. Oh, man, we got to think about this one. We'll have it next week.
Yeah, but, also Ty Hastings and Andrew Weishar, they need nickname's bad.
Yeah, because we have Mitch, who hasn't been, he's been, I know he's been dealing with a little bit of an injury that he suffered in preseason, but Mitch Barrows, yeah, he, Thunder Barrows, as they call him, and lots of stories behind that one that we won't get into, but these guys, Justin Diener needs one too. We just call him Diener, I guess, so he's, but yeah.
Just call him the family man. He got engaged.
That's right. Congratulations. Thank you for bringing that up, by the way. I was almost about to end this, this podcast, and yeah, congratulations, Justin Diener, getting engaged to his lovely fiance. I actually met her. They were a bit in a rush to get out of the game, but yeah, congratulations to them. I'm very, very happy for them. Justin Diener, assistant coach as well, player coach, and Diener was actually the first interview I ever had, believe it or not, for the team. So Diener's a good guy, really good guy.
Awesome.
All right, Keith. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for the story, by the way. Great, great story. And don't piss off Oscar. That is the moral of the story.
No kidding, because you wouldn't like him when he's angry. I'm pretty sure he hasn't said another word to me ever since I called him.
Well, Oscar, maybe we can maybe bury the hatchet now, hopefully, and Oscar will talk to you now.
Yeah, but maybe. I feel like a jilted fan.
Exactly. All right, Keith. Well, thank you so much again, and we'll hopefully have you on soon again.
All right, thank you for having me, Brandon.
Really great to have Keith on the show this week. He's actually been, when it comes to working for Bellingham United FC, he's been working with them longer than I have, and he's always helping Will out in the press box, doing the scorekeeping, backing him up on PA. He does a really, really good job, and it's great to have him help me out this week because I get bored a little bit sometimes. I'm sure you guys do when it's just me, and great to have another perspective. Really, really happy to have Keith on the show. And I know we only have a few shows left regarding Bellingham United FC this season, but maybe we'll have him on again to help me out. So, I also talked to Lance Calloway a little bit this week about the 2013 season, where we are right now in July, heading towards the Challenge Cup playoffs. So, yeah, here's my interview with head coach Lance Calloway. Hey, coach, how are you doing today?
Great. Good day.
Well, I want to congratulate you first on a great season so far. How are you feeling? We got only two games left in the regular season. How are you feeling up to this point so far?
Oh, for these next two games, I'm a bit anxious. We've got a lot riding on these next two games, particularly the first game is getting the guys to focus and to be prepared to take on UBC. We're a good squad. They beat us at home 1-0, and they're very organized, well coached, so going up to their place, we've got to be prepared, and it's going to be hot this weekend, so hopefully we're going to be ready for a good game.
I know you touched on this in another article that somebody else did interview. You've had a lot of, and we kind of talked about it last time, but you have continued to have a lot of success on the road. When you do go into this Vancouver Thunderbirds game, what is it that you're going to be telling the guys that you want to keep, obviously, that perfect record? Do you think that's going to be something? I know they're all professionals. Do you think it's going to be something hanging over their heads that they have that, especially with Vancouver being, like you said, a very tough squad and a squad that played very well last season?
Right. I don't think they're going to care anything about the road strength. That doesn't matter to them right now. What matters to them is that we need to take care of business and secure the 3 points on Saturday to put us in the position to, if not win the championship, league championship, at least keep in contention for a tie. So, that they're going to be looking at it just as one game. They don't really care what's happened previously or what's going to happen after that. They should be focused on just what's going to happen that day.
And after that, you have a game against Victoria Highlanders, who are having a bit of a tough season. Does that at all throw off? Do you worry a bit about the team? Because obviously you go to that kind of game maybe a little bit overconfident, or are you pretty comfortable with your guys?
Well, those are the games that actually make me more nervous. They can be overconfident, cocky, not feeling they need to put out the greatest effort. And, a team like Victoria, they can say, hey, this is our last game, let's give it our all. This is the top team. We could actually play a spoiler. So we've got to come out and focus and really, take the match seriously, regardless what their record is. It kind of happened the other day. I was talking to Sean Wallace, the coach at Kamloops, and they faced a squad from Coquitlam
absolutely. And it is one of those crazy seasons as well because, you know, it looked for a while, they're like, Khalsa was the runaway. Then you had, now you have Kamloops coming up through there. Khalsa and Bellingham still battling out there at the top, and Kamloops hot on their tail. So, now do you think when you do go into the Challenge Cup, though, obviously the top four, maybe with the exception of the fourth place spot, look, though, to be pretty locked in. Do you think that it does matter, seeding? I mean, obviously for confidence it does, but you think it really matters with all these teams being pretty evenly matched?
You know, it isn't one team I'd rather play from the beginning, you know, over the other, you know, in the first game. I'd be happy to take on any of the three. I guess I'd probably like to say we've had, you know, the greatest success against Kamloops. But again, beating the team the third time is sometimes also the toughest thing to do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you got almost, personally, I'm obviously not an expert like you are, but you got, I get the feeling too that we, you know, Bellingham did beat Khalsa on the road. And even though they've been beat twice at home, I get the feeling that they can obviously beat Khalsa. They did, you know, have their moments of brilliance even in both of those games.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, on Sunday's match against Khalsa, you know, we more than had our opportunities to put the match away in the first half. We didn't take care of that business then, and then as the game progressed in the second half, you know, it was a tale of two games. You know, we had complete control the first half. They had predominant control the second half, particularly probably the first 30 minutes of the second half. They were, you know, on our back end.
Now, something that I've noticed recently, because obviously I sit behind you guys at the games, and it's something I've actually noticed even going to a few MLS games even, because of the way that the layout is at some of these stadiums, a lot of the time the head coach of the home team ends up sitting by the supporters of the other team. Now, and granted, there aren't a lot of supporters coming in the PCSL from the opposing teams, but does that ever get a bit nerve-wracking to be in that position? It's not anybody's fault necessarily, but I've something I've observed, and I was wondering if that is something that gets a little bit nerve-wracking as a coach who wants to be doing his job.
No, that doesn't bug me a bit, truthfully. You know, I'm more focused on the field and what's going on there. I don't really pay much attention to the background noise. I mean, truthfully, unfortunately, I have to admit, I don't really pay much attention to even when we're at home. You know, I know the crowd is there. It's great. I hear it at the beginning and at the very end, but during the 90 minutes of play, I don't, it's kind of shut out in my mind.
And now, another thing that I've kind of observed a few times, and definitely not these past few weeks, but in weeks previous to this, I remember actually the Victoria United squad. You know, something that's really great about you, you're always communicating with your guys on the pitch. There's a few coaches that come in with a little bit different way, or they seem to be really quiet. Do you think there's any advantages or disadvantages to different coaching styles, or why do you, I guess, go about it the way you do?
Again, the game is for the guys to work on, you know, what we worked on in training. You know, I don't need to be joysticking them and telling them, you need to play it here, you need to do this, you need to do that. But when we have an issue that we need addressed, I just want to go out and talk to the one or two players that, hey, I need you to change doing this or this, and give them the opportunity to do it and see how they solve the problem. My job isn't to solve the problem for them, it's just to lead them to it.
Absolutely. And there's been a vote right now on the Facebook page, and I know that as a coach, I'm sure you're proud of the whole team. But right now, the big talk is about who's been the most influential player to the team this year. These past few weeks, I guess, I'm not going to ask you to pick a certain player, but these past few weeks, who, I know you talked about Curtis Peterson last time. Obviously, Kellen's always on the tip of everybody's tongues. But who these past few weeks have really stood out to you as showing something? I know we've had a few weeks off as well, but is there anybody in particular that's really been stepping up?
Well, I really thought Andrew Weishauer this past weekend, you know, did an outstanding job throughout the entire match. He did what he was supposed to do. He created opportunities. He held the ball for us. He you know, allowed us to get out of the defense, hold the ball, and then maintain it, get it into our midfield, and get us into the attack. I thought Andrew played exceptionally well, as he has all season. He's kind of kind of been a quiet influence out there, but a big influence. Obviously, Oscar is always a player that is dynamic, and you know, he creates a lot of opportunities for the players around him, but also he makes defenses for the other team a bit nervous because he's quick, but he not only distributes the ball, but he'll take the ball individually on the attack. We just got to make sure that we get the supporting players around Oscar to recognize what he can do and get him the ball a little bit more.
Now, finally, something that happened this week that was one of the first, well, actually was the first time for that matter that's happened for Bellingham United. Two international players, both in VV Zwammerdam, joined the team on the pitch. What did you see from them in training that led you to make that decision to get them out there? I know they're both young guys. What did you see from them in the sense of skill?
They're developing players. They have a different style that they play than what we play here in the U.S. Our game is a lot more faster pace, a lot more going at them. As I'm talking with them, it's a little slower, move the ball around. Where we get up and get in the attack quite a bit, and that's kind of the style of the league. But more importantly, I felt it was important for these two guys to come over on an exchange. This was a match that, while it didn't have league implications, it had implications of, as a cup on hand. And sometimes I felt, the relationships that we're building are sometimes a little more important than just going for the results. So I was planning on playing both Ryer and Nick regardless of where we were at again, because they come here and for them to have an opportunity as part of our relationship we're building with Zwammerdam is for them to step on the pitch in front of our home crowd. What an awesome opportunity for them, and that was something I wanted them to go back to Holland with.
Well, they definitely seem to be pretty happy. There was a lot of smiles after the game.
Yeah.
So,
and quite honestly, both of them in the second half created opportunities that could have brought the match level, where Ryer had a great combination with Brendan Quillacy, where their keeper came up with a gigantic save that, I thought that was in the net. I'm surprised the keeper got to it. And then Nick, almost at the end of regulation, hit a one-time volley off of a corner kick, and it was just wide, but it was hit, solidly and with good pace. And what a storybook ending that would have been. Say Nick would have, cannoned that shot just a little more to the right and put it in the back of the net.
Well, again, thank you so much, Coach, for everything you've done this season. Obviously, you're a huge, huge part of what makes Bellingham United what it is. So, thank you very much.
Yeah, not a problem.
All right, so it's time to get to the standings. I know that you all want to know what happened this week, so we're going to go through scores as well in the PCSL. We got to know what our potential competition, come playoff time, what they're looking like right now. So, yeah, these scores in the PCSL this week are brought to you by TNT Signs and Promotional Products. And you know what? When you go to Civic Field and you see those wonderful signs all around Civic Field. They got the field signs. They got the big silver reef banner. Those are made by TNT Signs and Promotional Products from Ferndale, Washington, on La Bounty Road, about kitty corner to Hagen's. Yeah, if your business needs some promotional products and signs, there's no other place to go than TNT Signs and Promotional Products. Go find out more at www.tntpromotional.com. All right, guys, so this week in scores, we'll start off on Wednesday. Estrella de Chile took on Vancouver Thunderbirds. Yeah, vast improvement for Estrella de Chile as they forfeit their match before this. But they did show up at this match. However, they did lose to Vancouver Thunderbirds 2-1. Estrella's goal scorer was Ilya Malik. Vancouver Thunderbirds goal scorers are Ki-Young G and Adriano Clements. So then you move on to Thursday. Khalsa Sporting Club, before they joined us for the Cross Border Cup, they took on Coquitlam Metro Ford SC, and they shellacked them. Milad Rahmadi had 2 goals. Colin Jacques had 3 goals. A hat trick in that game. Coquitlam Metro Ford had 1 goal by Cole Almond. And boy, after Coquitlam was looking good for a while there, Khalsa back in their early season form with those 5 goals. Colin Jacques on a tear right now. Vancouver Thunderbirds Victoria United played on Saturday. Kiyungan Ji also had 2 goals in that game for the Thunderbirds. Cooper Berry and Dominic Colantonio both had goals for Victoria United to make it a 2-2 draw. And also on Saturday, Estrella de Chile and the Victoria Highlanders played each other, but played to a 1-1 draw. One of the better results for both teams this season. of course, you know what happened in the Cross-Border Cup. Khalsa Sporting Club had goals from Colin Jacques and Milad Rahmadi for a 2-1 win over Bellingham United, who had their sole goal scored by Andrew Weissauer. Also on Sunday, you had Kamloops Heat play Coquitlam Metro Ford SC. Coquitlam Metro Ford in a bit of a funk right now, a 0-0 draw against the Heat. And to finish it all up, Vancouver Thunderbirds took on the Victoria Highlanders and beat the Victoria Highlanders 2-0. Vancouver Thunderbirds now making their way up the standings, which we'll get to in just a second. So very, very, run-of-the-mill week when it all comes down to it. Kind of what you could expect. Maybe would have expected a little bit more out of Kamloops Heat or Coquitlam in that game. Probably a good thing for Bellingham United with that draw, because both teams get a point. Both teams sort of in contention. Kamloops Heat, obviously, more than Coquitlam Metro Ford to be in the playoffs. But, you know, so getting only 1 point out of it for both teams, not necessarily a bad thing for Bellingham United FC. Alright, so now let's go to the standings, and these standings are brought to you by Belcher Swanson Law Firm. Belcher Swanson Law Firm is located in Bellingham, Washington, and they are proud supporters of both Bellingham United FC and Hammer Time Radio. Find out more about Belcher Swanson Law Firm at www.belcherswanson.com. Alright, so in the standings, well, we got a little bit of a shakeup in the top four. Khalsa Sporting Club now is the leader of the PCSL with 25 points. They now have the same amount of games played as Bellingham does. Both at 12 games, they have identical records, 8-3-1. The reason that they have the lead over Bellingham United has to do with a tiebreaker. I'm guessing it must be goals. I don't have the information on that. I'm guessing it must be goals because the season series is tied at 1, and obviously that cross-border Challenge Cup was not a regular season game, so I had nothing to do with it. So Khalsa in first place, Bellingham in second, both identical records. Kamloops Heat also now standing at 12 games into the season. They are 7-3-2 with that draw against Coquitlam Metro Ford, so they're still back 2 points on both Bellingham and Khalsa, and rounding out the playoff spots. There's Vancouver Thunderbirds with a 6-3-3 record, 21 points, very much making their run now for the Challenge Cup playoffs. Victoria United FC already played 13 games, so in fact the top four teams have a game in hand against them, and they are a good 5 points back with 16 points of the fourth place Vancouver Thunderbirds. So right now, looking like the playoffs positions are kind of all but set right now. So it looks like Khalsa, Bellingham, Kamloops, and Vancouver will be your Challenge Cup teams unless something really crazy was to happen. In fact, when I look at this, I don't think it's mathematically possible for anything crazy to happen. So those are your four teams going to the Challenge Cup. Now let's go to goal scorers. Kellen Brown has 13 goals still. Didn't have a regular season game this week, so couldn't add to that. Milad Mehrabi has 9 goals, and his teammate Milad Rahmadi, both Khalsa Sporting Club, also has 9 goals. They're 4 back on Kellen Brown. Oriel Torres from Kamloops Heat has 8 goals. Kyle Ferdow of Kamloops Heat has 5 goals. And rounding out the top 10 are John Salentic of Khalsa Sporting Club, Justin Wallace of the Kamloops Heat, Cooper Berry of Victoria United, Reynolds Stewart of Vancouver Thunderbirds, and Navid Mashinchi of Vancouver Thunderbirds, all with 4 goals. So there you have it, guys. That's what you're looking at now. There's only 2 games left for Bellingham. Khalsa also has 2 games left. Same with Kamloops, Vancouver, Coquitlam Metro Ford. Victoria United has 1 game left. Australia de Chile season is over. They end it with 1 win, 8 losses, and 5 draws. That 1 win coming against Bellingham United FC. Victoria Highlanders, they have 2 wins, 8 losses and 1 draw, but they have the most games left with 3 left, one of those being the season finale against Bellingham United. So yeah, it's going to be fun times. So, everyone, remember, this weekend, no home game for Billingham United. They're headed to Vancouver on Saturday the 13th to take on the Vancouver Thunderbirds. But that's a game you might want to go to. Final road game of the season. Last year, like I mentioned earlier, I went to the final road game of the season against Langley. Really, really fun to go and experience the game at a different stadium. So I would definitely suggest going to this game because Thunderbird Stadium is a nice venue. It's got lots of great seating for everybody. So yeah, that's on the 13th, like I said, and visit BellinghamUnited.com for more information on that game. And then the final game of the regular season, the final home game of 2013. Boy, that's enough to almost just make you a little sad, isn't it? that'll be on the 21st of July, and it'll be against the Victoria Highlanders, the struggling Victoria Highlanders. So yeah, folks, you better make it to that game. It's going to be bittersweet. Because then they head to Coquitlam. I hope you'll join me in going with the Hammers to Coquitlam for the Challenge Cup. And hopefully doing very, very well and bringing home... I'm not even going to say it. Because I don't want to jinx it. All right, thank you so much to Keith Chambers for helping me out this week. Also to Lance Calloway for joining me for an interview. And that's all I got this week, folks. I will see you next week. I know that you...